This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD, online at 95.9watd.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Well, good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I'm your moderator, Christine James, and I'm joined by reporter Tom Gorman tonight asking questions. It's the primary Democrat election race for county commissioner. There are two seats up for election. In studio with us, we have Scott Vecchi and Rhonda Nyman, both here. Good evening.
Good evening.
And they're both vying to be on the ballot for the general election this fall to face two Republicans already on the ballot, Jared Valenzuela and Tony O'Brien. Greg Hanley is the incumbent, and he couldn't be here tonight, but he does have some statements that he sent in. Now, timing you all is our own Charlie Fulmer, and we're joined by our media partner, Local Scene, PAC-TV. Now, the format is simple. We've asked the candidates to have prepared opening and closing statements ready, no longer than 2 minutes for the open, and a one-minute close, please. Then we have a round of questions from us with answers limited to a minute, then a lightning round where answers are either yes or no or two sentences tops. And if you're a regular listener here, you know that anyone running for office can never complete the lightning round, but that's why I keep doing it. Now, remember, please try and keep your answers to about a minute. If you consistently go over, ramble, or start to repeat yourself, then you get the bell. And what I tell people is with the colored paper here, green is go, yellow is 10 seconds, and red is stop. That's right. It seems to work very well for children and adults. Everybody responds to that. If you're still talking when the red card is up, it's a quick five count and that grace period. And if you're still talking, bell. And if you're still talking, then we cut the mics. That's the system that we run here. And this is live, and again, this is going to be up online tomorrow. Now, we did choose opening order out of our official stand-in newsroom koozie right before we went on the top of the air, and we'll start with a recorded statement from Greg Hanley, then we'll go to Scott Vecchi, and then we'll go to Rhonda Nyman. So good evening, and let's start with a statement from Greg Hanley.
Good evening, and thank you to WATD for hosting this debate. My name is Greg Hanley. I am the current county commissioner. I've been in office for the last 12 years, and I welcome this opportunity to speak a little bit about my record as your county commissioner. So 12 years ago, I ran full of ideals, wanting to make a difference in the county. And when I arrived, the county had a $750,000 structural deficit and a charter referendum binding group that was trying to decide the future of county government. So along with my colleagues, we rolled up our sleeves and we addressed the issues that were plaguing the county at the time. And over time, we did a number of things to improve the county with respect to functioning as the administrative form of government. And we created certain items and programs that benefited our member communities. For example, we started the Mayflower Municipal Health Group, which provides high-quality health insurance for our member communities. It's a group that comes together and combines the buying power of all the communities to get the best healthcare system in the Commonwealth. We also created the Plymouth County OPEB Trust, which deals with the post-employment benefits of retirees. And right now we have $53 million in assets under the control of the trust that benefits 34 communities, and our rate of return is the highest this side of the Mississippi for the last 6 years. Along the way, once those matters were settled, the pandemic had hit, and it's a time when Plymouth County went from a question annually as to whether or not they were relevant to propelling us into dealing with the pandemic and moving forward into the future. Plymouth County was the only county to administer CARES Act.
Cut that there because it's a two-minute limit, and I believe his original statement was 4 minutes, so I cut it at the two-minute mark. That's Greg Hanley in his opening statement. Now we're going to go to candidate Scott Vecchi in your opening statement.
Christine, thank you for having me. Thank you to WATD as well as Local Scene and to everybody here tonight, as well as everybody listening. My name is Scott Vecchi. I'm born and raised in Plymouth, and I'm running as the Democratic candidate, a Democratic candidate for Plymouth County Commissioner, and I'm asking for your vote on or before next Tuesday. The early voting is open, and election day is Tuesday the 3rd. I'm currently a practicing attorney. I focus on bankruptcy and immigration. I do a lot of small things, help people with LLCs, wills, that kind of stuff. I'm also an EMT, and I work part-time on the ambulance, and I really enjoy that because it lets me stay involved in the community. It lets me stay out there helping people every day. And that's why I was running late today is because I was out on the ambulance. I'm also a retired police sergeant from the town of Plymouth and a retired gunnery sergeant of Marines. So I bring a unique set of skill set to the table here. Legal education, 32 years of public safety experience, and the leadership of a gunnery sergeant of Marines. If I can lead Marines in combat in Fallujah, Iraq, I can lead this county to become a better place. I have a lot of new ideas that are on the table. There's some very important issues taking place right now in the town of Plymouth, because most of what's left of the county is in the town of Plymouth. And I think it's imperative in order to tackle these obstacles and come to a good place for both the county and the town that they have a county commissioner who truly is from the town of Plymouth. I was born and raised there. I live there right now, and it's a place that I love. The other 27 communities are just as important, but if these things in Plymouth take place, then it will provide them the opportunity to provide programs to the other 27 communities. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement with Scott Vecchi, and now we're going to go to Rhonda Nyman.
Thank you, Christine, Tom, and WATD for hosting tonight's political forum. Good evening. My name is Rhonda Nyman. My passion for public service first began in 2011 when I was elected as state representative for the towns of Hanover, Rockland, and Norwell. And now I'm currently serving as a member of the select board in my hometown of Hanover. In that role, I was appointed as a member of the Plymouth County Advisory Board and delegate to the Old Colony Planning Council in Brockton. Tonight, I am before you as a candidate for Plymouth County Commissioner. I am proud to have been born and raised in Plymouth County. I've lived here my entire life, and it's where I've raised my daughters, Christy and Kara. In addition to being a mom and serving as state representative, I worked as chief financial officer for a small family-owned business for over 20 years. This taught me about the challenges small businesses faced and showed me how businesses help community like ours. As a county commissioner, I will always work towards providing a welcoming environment for small businesses throughout Plymouth County because they are the backbone in our communities, providing economic job growth, jobs, and increased revenues. As state representative, I work to bring meaningful relief back to our communities that would improve the quality of life for our residents. I am proud to have helped build a much-needed senior center in Rockland, to have brought GATRA to Hanover, and provided transportation service to seniors and people with disabilities, and have been part of a team to build veterans memorials in both Hanover and Rockland. When I was elected to the Hanover Select Board in May of 2020, I was immediately charged with helping our community through the historic COVID pandemic. Working with dedicated town officials, we were able to overcome those unprecedented challenges while still maintaining a strong vision for the future of Hanover. As chair and vice chair of the select board, I was proud to play a role in reinstating the Pledge of Allegiance at all select board meetings and have been charged with the responsibility of balancing the town budget. In my current role at the Plymouth County Sheriff's Office, I have worked closely with local, state, and federal delegation and public safety officials throughout Plymouth County. This, along with my role on the Plymouth County Advisory Board, allows me to fully understand the current challenges facing the county.
Thank you very much. That was Rhonda Nyman. Thank you very much. I know it's tough, isn't it? I always like to get a chance to use that bell. Let's start with some of the basics, since you know, you hear me talking about county government through all these forums. A lot of it's inside baseball. A lot of people, unless they're actively involved in government, don't really know what county government is. So in your own words, Rhonda, tell me, what is the mission of Plymouth County government? What do you think it is the mission?
Well, I think the mission, very similar, and I can speak to that, is being similar to being on the select board. And throughout my conversations throughout Plymouth County, that has been the struggle. That is one of the most talked about questions that I get from people. What do the Plymouth County commissioners do? And after the historic COVID pandemic and the county commissioners and all the ARPA funding that came through, they still don't understand what county government does. It plays a very important role in providing services to municipalities. You have three county commissioners. Two are elected during the presidential year, mm-hmm. and one during the gubernatorial year. They're a service-based commission. They are there to provide services to municipalities. They have a parking program, they have a bulk purchasing program, and they have a 4-H program. All of these are to help municipalities get through the reduced budgets, you know, constraints during their budget. So,
okay. Same question, Scott Vecchi. What do you think the mission is of Plymouth County government?
Well, like Rhonda said, it's very analogous to a select board, mm-hmm. or board of selectmen, whatever the appropriate term is nowadays. They are part-time elected officials. There is a county administrator, much like you have a town administrator, and the county commissioners, like selectmen, set the policy, vote on important issues and such. If we were in Florida or Arizona and you left Marshfield, you could drive for 20 or 30 miles before you hit Duxbury, and all of that land in between would not be incorporated into a municipality. That land belongs to the county. And that's why down south and out west, the county is a much larger form of government. It runs schools, DPWs, police departments, fire departments, all that other stuff. We're here at the oldest part of the country. Everything touches. You know, when my ancestors got off of the Mayflower, they didn't leave any little spaces in between their municipalities. So county government becomes an invisible layer of government, but a very important and very relevant form of government that doesn't let the people know what it does. And that's what I want to do, is provide a much better...
Thank you. We've heard our opening statements. We're going to take a quick break and come back right after this.
Bridgewater Music Alley Summer Concert Series continues this Thursday evening with opening act Sean McGuire.
This ain't a long straight line between your heart and mine.
And headlining the evening, it's Drew Angus. Music starts at 5:30 at Black Cat Brew Works in Bridgewater. The Friends of Bridgewater Music Alley is a nonprofit organization. Learn more at bridgewatermusicalley.com.
It's summer in Britain, and the crimes are just getting started.
I found another body.
Stream the best of British crime drama only on BritBox. Don't miss new seasons of acclaimed series like Blue Lights, which Time Out calls Belfast's answer to The Wire.
Back up, over!
And The Responder, starring Martin Freeman in his international Emmy award-winning role.
I can feel it. I'm going to crack.
Stream the best of British crime drama on BritBox.
You know, this is why I want to be a detective.
Watch with a free trial today.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you're always looking for ways to position your operation to create opportunities and move on them faster. With Bank of America, you get access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
This is Stephen Helkoshian from the Marshfield Community Rib Cook-Off. This year's cook-off will be held on Saturday, September 7th, 12 to 5 p.m. at the Marshfield Fairgrounds. There'll be activities for the kiddos and food for all. Live music performed by Despite Dwight and Cindy Lou and her three fine fellows. New this year, When the Smoke Clears, featuring Davis with a Twist, 5 to 7 p.m. Tickets for both events can be purchased in advance at mcrco.org. All proceeds benefit local charities. Hope to see you there.
Studio now. It's a forum. It's Plymouth County Democrats running for County Commission. Right before we went to the break, I was asking candidates Rhonda Nyman and Scott Vecchi a question. Now we're going to go to reporter Tom Gorman. Your questions for the candidates, Tom.
The migrant crisis has become a major issue here on the South Shore. How would you address this issue?
Scott Vecchi.
That's a very good question, sir. Unfortunately, the county doesn't play a big role in what's taking place right now. I think our elected officials, you know, the governor and the legislature have all realized that our right to shelter bill is a very altruistic bill. It's, you know, nobody should be left outside. Nobody should suffer for housing. However, when it was written, they did not anticipate the wave of people that were going to come to our state. And it's very financially burdensome on our Commonwealth. And I think some of the things that you've seen out of the governor's office, where they're trying to... look at places where they can, you know, move them to that doesn't burden the state as much as hotel rooms do. And I think a lot of the public, when they see those, you know, migrants in hotel rooms, if they're not living at that level, this a little animosity is like, why are they being put up like that? We don't have these conditions. Could the county be a partner in helping with some of that? I would hope so. However, the county doesn't really possess any facilities or forums for that to help.
Same question, Rhonda.
Sure. Thank you, Tom, for the question. Certainly, Scott's right. The county, as a county commissioner, there's really not anything that we would do to oversee that. I know Mara Healy, the governor, has passed some legislation, I believe, to put some restriction on the migrant housing issue. And certainly, I think, you know, as a humanitarian issue, I think the county, as a county commissioner, we would do all we could to try to, you know, partner if need be in that situation. Again, I know the state and the state legislature are working on that to try to put some sort of regulations in place.
I'm just going to ask you a quick follow-up, because the questions that we got, because we always ask listeners to send in, it all had to do with the migrant question. This is the number one question in every race, and most of them came from Kingston, and they wanted to know, again, because what you do in the county, what can you do to help them, and would you be able to get funding available to the specific communities that are housing migrants like Kingston? I don't know if you have any ability to do that. It's not something I've heard the county do before, but could you advocate for that?
I think, Christine, for me, as I served as a former state representative, I think I would reach out to some of my colleagues and lean on them to get some assistance and ask them how we could help or partner with them, and so that we can come to a resolve.
Okay. Same question, Scott. And this is the people sent the questions, and this was the question that was the big one.
And it is a hot button issue this mm-hmm. cycle. And believe it or not, you know, I think everybody's seen, I've been pushing a lot of Facebook ads, Facebook posts, all that other stuff. And some of the stuff that I get, you know, is basically these upper level national issues. And mm-hmm. kind of, you have to explain to people, is like, you know, the Plymouth, somebody the other day posted something about IPAC in Israel. Mm-hmm. And my response was, I'm pretty sure IPAC in Israel really don't care about the Plymouth County Commissioners. But it's a hot button issue, so people want to know what your stance is on it. And the Baymont Hotel in Plymouth is a migrant shelter. It's you know, full of people from different countries. They have had some problems there, and that's concerning to the people in Kingston. But at the same time, I've seen that they have a representative from the state that's been helping them to find jobs and be productive members of our society around here. What can the county commissioners do? Again, it's not really within our purview, but much like the sunset of the ARPA money, we could look to federal grants and stuff to help out. But you could be a zealous advocate, and that's okay. What I would be.
That's good. Tom, question for the candidates? Any follow-up migrant question there? Okay. Because, that was the in a number of different forums, that was the big question that came in. Let me ask you a question, too, because we always talk about not knowing what county commissioners do. What kind of outreach do the county commissioners need to do to find out what the people in the districts really want from county services? Is the current system just interacting with local town government? Should that be adjusted? Why or why not? Let's start with you, Scott.
I think right now they're not doing anywhere near as much as they need to bring the input in from the public. Very few people even know where the meetings are. I believe last Thursday was the first one that they actually recorded. I'm still trying to find out where it's posted and where it's going to be televised. But you need to look at this as bigger than just an analogous to a selectman type position. You know, personally, me, the other day I was talking that, you know, when I'm elected, I want to have office hours, much like state representatives do, where people could come and talk to me and go out and reach out and actually just walk into a selectman's meeting in some random town one night and say, is there anything the county can do for you? Go city council meeting in Brockton, or just advertise, hey, look, Scott's going to be at the Council on Aging tomorrow. If you have a county issue and you want to talk about it, come on down. And that's not being done right now, but it's something that I will do as your next county commissioner.
What do you think about that outreach, Rhonda? What needs to happen?
Well, Christine, certainly I think they need to begin by their meetings need to be live streamed and recorded and put up on their website. I think that would be the first start to engage public participation mm-hmm. from folks. I have already, this is something that I've been campaigning on, that things are being done in a vacuum. You don't know when the meetings are. You have very little schedule to know when they are, if they're last minute. I think if they could first start by engaging people, by live streaming the meetings and putting them up on their website, that would create some more public participation. I also think they should be reaching out to town administrators and managers, select board members within the county on a quarterly maybe basis, have some meetings, go to town halls, sit down, have conversation, find out what they need in the municipalities. I think that would be a really great first start.
I remember a number of years ago, was a different board than is there now. They did like a traveling road show, and they went to a number of different towns in Plymouth County, and that seemed to be one of the more effective things they did. Would you support something like that, Rhonda?
I would. I think that's how you find out what's going on, and you engage and you build relationships, and that by building those relationships, you can get things done.
About you, Scott, you think they should have a road show, the county commissioners?
I don't know about holding meetings in different places, maybe quarterly, hold them somewhere different in the county. But to follow up on an earlier question, there's a very important meeting Thursday. Mm-hmm. Thursday at 5:30 at the Plymouth County Administration's building. They're going to revisit the sheriff's lease of the farm. And that's one of the hot button issues right now in Plymouth County. So I encourage all of the listeners to attend. It's a public forum. This is an opportunity for the public to speak and be heard. I spoke and I was heard at the last meeting. But that's one of the things. People don't know about this. So I'm telling everybody right now, Thursday, 5:30, Plymouth County Administration building. Please be there.
Well, it's a good follow-up question because one of my questions here was, please explain what the situation is with the lease with the Sheriff's Department, with the Plymouth County Farm, and what you think should happen. Scott Vecchi.
I have serious concerns with the process that's being followed right now. The question is what they're doing, is it following the law? And are they following the correct law in doing it? There's been a bunch of flaws in the process. Way back 5 years ago or so, the county and the sheriff sued each other to determine who owned the farm. The sheriff in 2010 was removed from the county and became part of the Office of Transferred Sheriffs in the state. Out of that lawsuit, an arbitrator said that the county owns the farm. They are the landlord, and the sheriff is a tenant. And that the sheriff, at the time, they awarded him a temporary lease of 5 years at $20,000 per year. Which was, and they, then the arbitrator said, hey, you guys need to figure this out at the end of 5 years. So right now, the without any public input or anything, the current commissioners voted to extend that lease for another 5 years at $20,000 without any attempt to determine fair market value, to bring important funds into the county.
I'm going to give you another minute, and I'm going to give you 2 minutes for this because I know this is a complicated question. Yeah. You can have another minute. Sorry.
Okay. So so there's been no attempt to determine fair market value. This county, the county farm has an agricultural restriction, so it's not going to be worth as much as buildable land would be. But the county was in a $900,000 deficit last year, which they made up with rainy day funds. So now, after a $900,000 deficit, you're going to softball this lease for possible political purposes without just walking away from an opportunity to bring needed money into the county that could fund unfunded positions over at the Registry of Deeds. The Registry of Deeds is operating at below normal staffing because of prior fiscal problems. And at the meeting, they said, hey, these positions aren't funded. This is what brings money into the county. We need to fund these. So why walk away from an opportunity to bring that extra money into the county? And it's just fiscal mismanagement to not have any real estate person or an appraiser or anybody else look at this piece of property.
Okay. Rhonda, you got 2 minutes, too, because we went long. I know it's
a complicated issue. Honestly, I think I've been advised because I'm a current employee of the Plymouth County Sheriff's Office, if I was elected as the Plymouth County Commissioner, I would have to recuse myself on any issues that pertain to the county farm or anything that had to do with the Plymouth County Sheriff's Office. So I think I'll just refrain from that.
Okay, good. We're going to take another quick break and be back right after this.
Airplanes, music, food trucks, microbreweries. Come out for the second annual Props and Hops Festival at Plymouth Airport, Saturday afternoon, September 7th from 2 to 6. You'll be treated to music by that 80s band, airplanes on display, and scenic airplane rides available. Admission is $10 online and $15 at the gate. Kids 10 and under are free and parking is free. Food, fun, airplanes, and great music on Saturday, September 7th at Plymouth Airport. For more info, go to PlymouthPropsAndHops.com.
Summer is still in full bloom at Nezrella's Farm of Marshfield. Here's Paul Nezrella to tell us what you can expect when you walk in.
Everything we have now, which is in full color, you can plant now. It'll last between now and first hard frost. We still have a large selection of annuals. They're busting with color, zinnias, impatiens, flowering vinca. And for perennials, we have an abundance of coneflowers, sedum, and Montauk daisies. Everything is in full color. We still have a large variety of hanging baskets with million bells, petunias, and they're just busting in color. Petunias or million bells require the same care. They need at least half a day sunlight. They can tolerate full sun, but if they get a little shade, that helps cool them off a little bit.
And Paul, what do you have at Nezrella's Farm of Marshfield to feed those plants and make them happy?
We have a large selection of coastal Maine products, excellent for potted plants or in the ground. And we have a variety of colored mulch to spruce up the color of your garden.
Nezrella's Farm of Marshfield, 1200 Ocean Street, Nezrellas.com.
The Fall Harvest Fest, hosted by the West Bridgewater Lions Club, will be held on Saturday, September 14 at Friendship Park in West Bridgewater from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. We'll have vendors, children's activities, the Black Hat Brew Works Beer Garden, live music all afternoon, and food vendors, Frontline Bakery, To Go Box, and Tiki Turbo. Hope to see you at the West Bridgewater Lions Club Fall Harvest Fest on Saturday, September 14 at West Bridgewater's Friendship Park.
WATD's political forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
And we're back in Studio B. Here are the races for Plymouth County Commissioner. We have two Democrats here running in the primary, and that's Scott Vecchi and Rhonda Nyman. Thanks so much. Before we went to break, we were talking a little bit about the Plymouth County Farm. We're always talking about money when it comes to having money in the budget for the Plymouth County Commissioners. And again, I think a lot of people are not sure or don't know where that comes from. So what's the county's annual budget, and what's the source of that revenue, Rhonda?
So it's an $11 million budget, and a lot of the revenues come in from the OPED trust liability, the parking ticket program that they have. They also offer a Mayflower health insurance group that municipalities can sign up for, and a lot of the proceeds come in from that. The Register of Deeds brings money into the county, so those are the different resources that come into the county.
Okay, and you think, is it the same, Scott, as that, what you would agree?
Yeah, Rhonda has it pretty spot on. Sorry, tongue-tied a little bit.
Okay.
The Registry of Deeds, when the sheriff got himself removed from the county in 2010, he almost bankrupted the county. And the Registry of Deeds, the funding formula was changed. So right now, every dollar that passes through the Registry of Deeds, the county is only allowed to keep about 10 cents. So that is actually in most years their primary revenue stream, and the if you're talking a dime on the dollar, it's nowhere near what it needs to be. But people don't realize what a revenue stream the sheriff's department was for the county with civil process and a bunch of other stuff that they did. Quick analogy: when I retired last December as a police officer, they don't tell you don't get a check for 3 months or so. So I had to go out and find new revenue streams. And so I downloaded an Uber app, I got my EMT, I was driving an ambulance, I was doing all these different things to create new revenue streams. So the county needs to do something similar. The county needs to think out of the box to create new revenue streams, and most of the constituents have those answers.
Thank you. And what I'll do is I'm going to follow that up with you question, then I'm going to ask Rhonda the same question. Tell me an idea, what kind of new revenue streams could you have to bring in some more cash to Plymouth County?
Well, there actually is one on the table right now, and that is what the county commissioners have an RFP with Boston South in order to conduct a development on the county woodlot. The county woodlot's 109 acres in the town of Plymouth. It's right behind Camelot Park. I actually used to live in that neighborhood over there behind it. I saw some Boston South's gone kind of dark on this. They haven't really said anything or showed up at any meetings lately, but I got about a 20-minute wave top presentation, and part of it, it's a 40R smart growth project, which brings money in from a lot of different, including the state, and the leases of it, of the property and stuff, the county would get a portion of for perpetuity. That is a possible new revenue stream that could come into the county, but like I said, they've gone pretty dark. But as I was trying to say before I get the bell, I like to listen to the constituents. I like to listen to people and their ideas. Scott Becky doesn't have all the answers. But I give everybody my cell phone. I gave it out the last time we were on the radio. And because somebody out there has it, I want them to call me.
Okay. Rhonda, what's your idea for maybe one or two or more new revenue streams for county government?
Sure, Christine. So Plymouth County owns county land. And there's nowhere on their website that they talk about how much land they owned. It's posted, whether folks, a developer might want to come in, maybe do some mixed use. When you talk about the woodlot, maybe that's something you could do there. We did that in Hanover, down at the Hanover Mall. We have a mixed use. We have a, you know, retail and residential project going on there. That brings revenues into to the town. Possibly look at a grant writer to find, you know, more funding for the county. They could have a regionalized grant writer that would come in and find funding that would could be used to sustain itself. Certainly, and just try to find new revenues, because we can't just keep trying to sustain the county government as it is.
Let me ask you a follow-up question then. You said the annual budget's around $11 million. Do you know how that budget's divided up? Where the money goes? That's the annual budget. What's the output for the county?
So we just, as we are just presented with the revenues that come in at our mm-hmm. meeting twice a year as an advisory board member. That is just broken down as one lump sum on the report. We do have little to no conversation about what's in that. And I would work with both your commissioners, your town administrator, and work with them to find mm-hmm. more revenues for the county.
Okay. Scott, do you know how that $11 million is divided up?
Well, the county does do a lot of important projects, and there's a lot of small places that the what people don't realize is that the county still owns courthouses that the state leases. So the employees at the courthouses, the maintenance people, actually are county employees. Mm-hmm. The Registry of Deeds is one of the largest parts of the county. So that takes up a portion of the budget with the salaries and the operation and all that other stuff. The other part of it would be the county administration. They do have full time staff down there that work all these programs. Rhonda briefly spoke about a grant writer. With the sunset of the ARPA and CARES money, because when the ARPA money and the CARES money came in, the county was able to, skim's not the right word, but take an administrative fee for administering those grants. Mm-hmm. And that's been able to sustain the county for a while. With the sunset of ARPA and CARES, a grant writer that, and the county partnering with all of the different communities and finding these revenue streams is very important.
Okay. And that brings me to another question here. I'm just going to jump ahead because it seems to make sense. After those, our ARPA funds are distributed, and I think it's what, they have to have the requests in by the end of this fiscal, the end of 24, and then it has to be spent, I think, by the end of 26. How relevant do you think county government's going to be?
County government's going to be as relevant as they make it. And that's one of my big platforms, is I want county government to be relevant. There's a couple of my issues, one of which is a feasibility study for a county agricultural school. Plymouth County, right now, if your kid is in Marshfield or wherever and they want to go to the ag, your town has to pay $20,000 to either Norfolk or Bristol. Plus, they need to provide transportation. Transportation, as Brockton found out, is the hidden cost of the school budget, and it eats a large portion of the school budget. But if we had if this is feasible and the feasibility study says go forward, and we had a building and it said Plymouth County Agricultural School, would you know what the county does? You would, because it says Plymouth County on the side of it. The same with the Plymouth County Animal Rescue. That's another one of my big issues. All the smaller towns, your Halifaxes, your Hansons, your Mattapoisetts, only have like part-time animal control people. If you regionalize that service, you can provide a better service, save the town's money, and then if you go to the Plymouth County Animal Rescue, you're going to know what the county does.
Same question, Rhonda. After the ARPA funds are finally, they finish up with the distribution, how relevant do you think county government will be?
It should be relevant, Christine. Certainly, it shouldn't just be relying on putting them on the map just because of the ARPA funding. So certainly, as Scott spoke about, a grant writer, regionalization, all those things are important to bringing revenues into the county. We could do better.
Okay.
I'm not going to make any false promises about what I think we should do moving forward. I know there has been studies done. I know there has work done on doing certain projects within the county. I'd like to see what's worked, what hasn't worked, and maybe go from there.
Okay. I'm not trying to hog all the questions, Tom.
It's okay.
Tom Gorman, you have a question.
Yes, what do you feel people view as the expectations of a Plymouth County Commissioner?
Rhonda?
Well, I think first and foremost, Tom, I think they would expect that, you know, when I'm talking to folks within the county, that first of all, the meetings aren't accessible. You know, I think they expect you to be more transparent. I don't think that you have to, you know, I don't think they expect an awful lot of you, but I think that would be something that most people think is happening, that the meetings are televised. You can tune in if you can't make it. Say if you have a disability, you're handicapped, you can't get to a Plymouth County Commissioner's meeting, you can do it on live stream. Watch it pre-recorded. So I think that's important. I think transparency, accountability, and I think that they expect more. You know, they expect more from the county commissioners. So I would first start with that, Tom.
Same question.
I think what people expect, the constituents expect from a county commissioner is responsiveness. We were in here the other day. I gave out my cell phone number over the thing. My personal cell phone number is 781-706-5726. If you call me, text me, email me. I had somebody the other day email me a lengthy question, and I got right back to them. And that's what the public wants. The public wants their elected officials to listen to them, to be responsive to them, and to actually answer them. You know, one of the first things they taught us in law school was the most dissatisfied clients are because they didn't get a response in a timely manner. So to me, that's really what being an elected official is about, is making yourself accessible. Again, like I said, I want to have office hours. I'll be at the Council on Aging. I'll be at my law office in Plymouth. You know what I mean? I'll be somewhere that they can come and talk to me and bring me these ideas. The animal rescue wasn't my idea. It was a great idea that I asked. I said, can I run with this? And she's like, yeah, go nuts. The same with the ag school. It wasn't my idea, but I listened to my constituents.
Let me ask you a little bit about the parameters of the job. Over the years, I've heard different commissioners say that they spend different amounts of time each week on the job. Some people have said, I spend 40 hours a week on this job, and I'm thinking, what do the commissioners, what would you do during the week as a commissioner besides going to the meetings? How, Rhonda, just tell me how that would work.
Well, despite the meetings, obviously that's required of you as a commissioner to be at all of the meetings, I would assume. Certainly, I would spend time reaching out to your county administrator, Frank Basler, sit with him, find out what's going on in the county, what has worked, what hasn't worked over the years. You know, things have been tested, and still there's, you know, no results. I think we need to reach out to our, like I said earlier, your local town administrators and managers, your select board, the people that are the elected leaders within the county that are doing the job. They know what's going on, whether you're talking about PFAS, you're talking about, you know, override budgets. Well, what is impacting your municipality?
Mm-hmm. How many hours a week do you think you'd have to spend on this position?
Well, I think when you first start out, I think you're going to spend more time, you know, getting to know and to learn what's going on. So, I don't know. I've never really put a number on the hours I've spent. There's a lot of time, but I would, you know, I would say probably 25 hours a week, maybe.
Okay.
To start.
Scott, what would you think? How much time would you have to spend on this job, and what would you be doing?
There are important things that are taking place. And, you know, when we were sitting at the county commissioners meeting the other day, you know, Tom O'Brien was reading off a list of things around the county that needed a representative, and you know they were asking who was available on different days.
Mm-hmm.
My answer is all of it. When you're an elected official, you know, there's no days off. You're accessible to people. They might call you, you know, late or during supper or whatever like that. And you get what you put into it. If you want to be a good county commissioner, then you put as much time and effort as you can into it. I'm very fortunate that I'm supposedly retired, and my schedule is very flexible. Therefore, you know, like I said, I work part-time on the ambulance. Sometimes I'm doing legal stuff at 10 o'clock at night just because that's when I have some time to do it. So my schedule is wide open, and I want to be the most responsive, the most available, to use one of Rhonda's words, transparent, to be there and put all of the time into being a county commissioner. So that's my answer, is all my time.
Tell me what you think are the top three or four things that county government does, Scott.
County government right now, you know, we talked about the Mayflower Municipal Health Insurance, the county retirement system, that's very important. The registry of deeds, whether you're buying, nobody's really refiing at 8.5% or wherever we are right now, not if you're at 3. But you know, those are probably the most important thing, because if you are going to refi, you need to do a title search. If you're going to sell your house, they need, you know, make sure you have clear title, no encumbrances, all that other stuff. So the registry of deeds is kind of the heart of the county right now, or what exists at this current time. Again, there's some very important projects that are taking place in the town of Plymouth. You know, the county farm, you know, I'm not going to, I know Rhonda can't talk about it, but the county farm is a hugely important project. If this project on the Woodlot goes forward, you know, that's going to be a big revenue stream coming into the county that's going to allow the county to do more programs for all the 27 other communities. And to me, that's very important, because right now the town of Plymouth geographically is where the county is biggest and most, the most, I wouldn't say the most important part, but the biggest geographically.
Rhonda, what do you think the top three or four things are that county government does?
So more recently, I know the county commissioners are going across the county presenting checks for ARPA funding. So I think that's really important. You know, that was something that we have never experienced in our lifetime. So I think that's important that municipalities are getting reimbursed for things that they need, as far as, you know, HVAC systems, IT needs, PPE that took place during the COVID pandemic. So I think that was one of their top priorities that I can talk about right now. I know they also mentioned at one of the meetings I had that they were trying to do a similar MIH program over in Brockton, where they were going out to try to provide services to people at home, doing an ambulance service and things like that. I think that's maybe one of their priorities that they're doing now. Again, like Scott said, they offer that Mayflower health insurance. They have the 4-H program that they offer. They're doing great things that way, but I think they could do better.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break and come back right after this. You're listening to A Forum with the county commissioners, the Democrats running in the primary. We'll be back after this.
Hi, I'm Kelly with Veterinary Chaplaincy Services. Our mission is to support people after pet loss. If you're looking for support after losing your special companion, please visit our website at veterinarychaplaincy.com or call or text our new warm line at 833-4-VET-CHAP. That's 833-483-8247. 833-483-8247.
Airplanes, music, food trucks, microbreweries. Come out for the second annual Props and Hops Festival at Plymouth Airport, Saturday afternoon, September 7th from 2 to 6. You'll be treated to music by that 80s band, airplanes on display, and scenic airplane rides available. Admission is $10 online and $15 at the gate. Kids 10 and under are free, and parking is free. Food, fun, airplanes, and great music on Saturday, September 7th at Plymouth Airport. For more info, go to PlymouthPropsAndHops.com.
WATD's Political Forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
And welcome back to our forum. It's for county government. Two of the candidates here, Democrats, running in the primary, hoping to be your next county commissioner, Rhonda Nyman and Scott Vecchi. The other Democrat on the ticket is the incumbent, Greg Hanley, and he couldn't be here tonight. Now, right before we went to the break, we were asking a few more questions, but I just want to jump ahead. I hope you don't mind me hogging the questions, Tom. See, I wrote all these questions down because, you know, I'm always getting harassment for asking Plymouth County government stay or go. And that will be the first question in the lightning round. But what about the actual position itself? Can you tell me a little bit about what the obligations are, what the pay is, and, you know, what goes behind that? Can you tell me a little bit about that? Is it, I know they were making about $30,000 a year. They took a pay cut. Is it back up to $30,000? And is there a pension or are there benefits? Scott Vecchi.
I think it was around $28,000. I know that they voted to again take a pay cut, because the last time the county was in financial duress, they have their pay. I know that they took a vote to do that again, to reduce their pay in order to fund mm-hmm. you know, other programs and the registry of deeds and such. But I don't know the exact number that they cut it to. I would be remiss if I said I did. I believe they halved it again, but I might be wrong. But it mm-hmm. doesn't take effect right away. It doesn't. It didn't take effect when they voted on it. It's either January 1st or July 1st, one of the two, that they're going to reduce their salaries. To be honest with you, I never really looked into what their benefits are because I already have my. I'm a retiree. I already have my pension. I already have my health insurance, so I don't really need any benefits from the county.
Okay.
So, like I said, personally, I wouldn't take the health insurance because I don't need it, but I didn't really go down that road and look and see.
Okay. Rhonda, do you agree with that? That's what the position pays and the benefits?
Yes, Christine. So I know that I think it was Sandra Wright that at one of the meetings made a motion to reduce the commissioner's salary in half, and I don't know if that was in maybe February of 2024 sometime, and I think it was reduced to $15,000. And since that time, I know that it has been reinstated and voted upon, and I think the commissioner's salary is somewhere around $32,000 something right now, and they might have had a 3% increase in that as well, if my memory serves me correctly. But I'm in the same boat as Scott. I don't need benefits. I never looked into them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't run for public office to receive pay or any type of monetary or health insurance or retirement benefits.
Okay, let me ask you both a follow-up question. Would you do this job for free, Rhonda?
Certainly, if I had to do that, certainly I would do that. I serve as a select board member that I volunteer position. I never ran for public office for the pay, certainly. And if I had to do it, if it was to help save the county and keep the county moving forward, certainly I would be happy to do that.
Okay. Same question, Scott. Would you do this for no pay?
I definitely would. I've been an elected or appointed official for the last 15 years in the town of Plymouth. I'm currently the vice chair of the Plymouth Redevelopment Authority that has no compensation. So I've been doing similar things for 15 years with no compensation. I don't do any of this for compensation. I do it because I have a very altruistic streak and I'm trying to make the world a better place. Part of why I still work on the ambulance is because it allows me to do good every day, to do even a small little good thing to help somebody out. And that's how I see my election as a Plymouth County Commissioner isn't for the pay. It isn't for any benefits. It's to get out there. It's to do the right thing. It's to help people. It's to be the best elected official that I could possibly be. And to me, the compensation really just doesn't matter. Like I said, I'm a retiree. I'm also an attorney. I make plenty of money, so it's not about any monetary gain.
What would happen if county government went away or parts of it, just like the sheriff's department, were absorbed by the state? What difference would it make in the lives of the people in Plymouth County? What would we see and feel? What would be the problems, Scott?
Well, I mean, you lose the local responsiveness for starters. I don't know if anybody has looked to the state to help and get grants and do all that other stuff, but they don't have the personnel. They don't have the focus on just 27 communities. I believe there's something like 312 towns or communities within the state, something like that. So if you take the 27 communities and just lump them into that big pool with all the other towns, they're not going to get the responsiveness. They're not going to get the services, and that's really what it comes down to is having three commissioners who are focused on Plymouth County that want. That was one of the things with the state. When the state was distributing ARPA funds and CARES Act to the rest of the Commonwealth, it didn't happen as quickly. They weren't as responsive to the ideas. They didn't get their approvals as timely as Plymouth County had been. So to me, county government, while it needs to be much more relevant because it's an invisible layer of government, is very important. And I think it's very important that it remains in place.
What do you think? Same question, Rhonda.
I agree with Scott. I think certainly, when you have local elected officials locally, that means something. If the state were to take it, as Scott said, with the ARPA funding, I think the county commissioners were able to get the money quicker and faster out to the municipality. So there's the proof of the pudding right there for that. But I think your local elected officials, you engage with people, whether you're in the supermarket, you're, at work, your phone rings 24/7. I think if the state were to take over a county government, I don't think you would get that kind of attention.
Okay. Tom Gorman, questions for the candidates here?
Yeah, as you both know, there's a housing crisis here in Massachusetts. Is there anything the Plymouth County Commissioners can do to help local communities address that?
Rhonda.
So, Tom, I know that, the governor has the MBTA zoning. I know that's a hot-button issue as well. Certainly, we took it up at our town meeting in Hanover and put that out to the local residents, and I think that should always remain with the local residents to make that decision about what they would like to see happen in their communities as far as housing goes. So as a county commissioner, I don't know, that was your question, whether or not we could help with the housing crisis. Again, I would reach out to my state, local, and federal partners in government and say, hey, what can we do to help? Where can the county, how can the county help? Whether it's grant funding, whether it's some provide resources, anything like that to help sustain that.
Same question, Scott.
The county obviously doesn't own any buildings that could use to be housed people, or even, like I said, the farms, agricultural. It's not like you could put tents up out there or anything like that. But what the county can do is reach beyond municipal borders. And that's the best feature of the county, and it's one of the seldom used features of it, is the regionalization of services. So if Plymouth can help Brockton, or Marion, or Hull, or, you know what I mean? And we can reach all, I don't know if you've ever driven from Marion to Hull in one day, but it's a little bit of a chore. I've done it, dropping signs all over the place. But being able to reach across those borders and have a community that does have the ability to help a community on the other side of the county is the function of the county, because the county encompasses all 27. You know, it's not like Marshfield, where the Board of Selectmen stop at the town line and they can't affect anything that takes place in Pembroke. So, like I said, being that responsive, being that commissioner that's out there, that would be what I would look to do, is how do we regionalize help amongst the 27 communities?
Okay. You know what we're going to do now? We're going to go to the lightning round. I love this. And this is where the answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences, and we'll ask you for that. Tom, do you have any lightning round questions? Okay. Traditionally, I like to ask this, and since I've got two candidates here, I have to ask. Plymouth County government, stay or go, Rhonda?
Stay, of course.
Scott?
Stay.
Okay. Why are two sentences? Why are you investing yourself in this position? Two sentences, Scott.
I'm an altruist, but just by nature. I've been known to tilt at a windmill or two. And when I was a police officer, I couldn't get involved in the select board or that level of town government, because there was such a conflict of interest. So I gravitated towards the county form of government. I always found it very interesting and exciting. So that's why.
Two long sentences there. Same question, Ron.
What was the question again? Christine, sorry.
Why are you investing yourself in this position? Two sentences.
Well, certainly, Christine, my family has a long legacy of public service. It's been instilled in us for many years, and that's what drives me every day. So I enjoy public service, and I'm looking forward to continue that for
That's why we
bit.
Call it lightning. Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
That's why I love this.
Sorry.
Thank you.
We're rumbling over
what's
here.
What's your hidden talent, Rhonda? Don't be shy.
Oh, jeez. Hidden talent. Something you might not know about me. I was an equestrian back in the day.
Okay, there you go. It's hidden talent. Yeah. Scott Vecchi, hidden talent.
Multitasker.
Okay.
I'm in my head, I'm writing a will while we're talking about
okay.
it.
Okay. I hope it's not mine. Last book read, Scott Vecchi.
I'm actually in the middle of a Stephen Hunter book right now. The title of it escapes me, but it's one of the fictions I read.
Okay, last book read.
Tuesdays with Maury.
Okay, we're going to go now to closing statements. I know you're all happy to hear that. And we're going to switch the order that we started with. We're going to go with Rhonda, then Scott, then Greg. Remember, it's 1 minute close.
Okay. Again, thank you to Christine and WATD for hosting tonight's forum, and to Scott for his participation as well. I am running for Plymouth County Commissioner not only because I am committed to public service, but also because I have years of experience at the state, local, and county level that will be invaluable to help move the county forward. I bring a unique perspective to this position, both as a former small business CFO and local elected official, in understanding the true pressure points for our communities. Also, as a former state representative, I have the ability and experience to bring critical state and federal funding back to the county. Through these roles, I know our county government has a very important role to play in assisting local communities. Our cities and towns are simply being asked to do too much with less. With smart, sustainable, regionalized programming, the county can alleviate some of the stress on municipal budgets while improving services in public safety, emergency preparedness, and public health. I further believe that my experience can help tighten the budget in these times of increased needs and stagnant resources. This is critical for the county to be able to maintain and provide services. So while a strong passion to help others through public service continues to drive my
thank you very much. That was Rhonda Nyman. I know it's hard to contain yourself to a minute. I get it. That's Scott Vecchi, your closing.
That's why I don't write mine down.
Scott Vecchi, your closing statement.
My name is Scott Vecchi. I'm a Democratic candidate for county commissioner, and I'm asking for one of your two votes on or before September 3rd. As a practicing attorney, as a retired police officer, Gunnery Sergeant of Marines, and 15 years as an elected or appointed official, I have a unique resume that will allow me to be effective on day one as your next Plymouth County Commissioner. One of my goals is to make this as relevant as possible, to reach out to people, to encompass everybody's ideas, because somebody listening to us tonight has a very valuable idea that can be positive for the county. If you want to find more about me, go to my website, voteforvecchi.org, V-O-T-E, the number 4, V-E-C-C-H-I.org. The committee to elect Scott Vecchi on Facebook or scott.m.vecchi on Instagram. Or just reach out to my phone, which is 781-706-5726. Text me, call me, email me. I'm here for you.
Thank you. That was Scott Vecchi, his closing statement. Now we're going to go to the recorded statement from Greg Hanley.
Once again, thank you to WATD for sponsoring this debate. It's important for us all to come together and discuss the pros and cons of doing business as an elected official and what our agenda is and what our opponent's agenda is, as long as at the end of the day we come together as a community to solve the problems of Plymouth County. I would ask you to give me your vote on September 3rd to continue the work that I have overseen and participated in the last 12 years, and wish all my opponents the very best of luck, as well as the residents of Plymouth County. It's been a pleasure to be your Plymouth County Commissioner. Thank you.
Thank you. It was Greg Hanley. You've been listening to a WATD Political Forum here with our media partner, Local Scene PAC TV. The race for Plymouth County Commissioner, the primary race, two of the Democrats in the studio here tonight, Rhonda Nyman, Scott Vecchi. Tom Gorman's asking questions with me. Charlie Fulmer is timing. And again, our media partners from Local Scene PAC TV. This is going to be up on our website. And remember, get out there and vote on September 3rd in the primary. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice. I'm Christine James, 95.9 WATD.